Welcome to Tribe Talk, the bi-monthly podcast by Tribe of Women. I'm Amy Robinson, founder of Tribe of Women. During each episode, I'll be joined by members of my tribe as we hear from guest speakers and powerful women who connect to our mission to establish cultures of women supporting women and recognizing more good men. We will also tell stories of you, our listeners, working in your communities to support your tribes and to answer your questions about how to grow the tribe of women together. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get started.
Welcome to Tribe Talk. I'm Laurie Marshall, your co-host with Tribe of Women founder Amy Robinson. We're happy to be recording again this week in the pod at The Artist Evolution. The Artist Evolution is one of our valued podcast sponsors. They are a talented, full-service marketing group with a team that makes us sound great every week. Be sure to check them out at theartistevolution.com. Hey, Amy.
Hey, Lori. Happy to have you back here as my partner in crime.
And I'm always happy to be with you.
I'm glad that you mentioned the talent of the Artist Evolution. We're really enjoying our work with them. They are part of our tribe. Shout out to Ella Jane.
Hey.
And they're growing and adapting with us on this journey together.
It's been great being able to support them as they support us. Mm-hmm. Speaking of journeys, we just enjoyed another amazing week visiting with filmmakers and recording their stories at the Bentonville Film Festival.
We did, and we are looking so forward to sharing those stories. We're also excited to share our in-studio live recording with a past podcast guest, the Song Suffragettes, yes, on our next episode. But you don't have to wait to until then to get a sneak peek. You can go to our website, tribeofwomen.com, and our social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Tribe of Women, to catch glimpses into the fun that we had with them.
They're such an amazing bunch of talented ladies. There's a lot of talent today we're talking about. The peaks were fun to capture and to share, mm-hmm, but you're right, the full recording will be featured on the next episode of Tribe Talk, so everyone will have to listen in.
They will, even though I know that you will have not gotten enough of them even then. So
I'm pretty sure, given their star power, they haven't reached the enough level yet, so we'll definitely be cheering them on.
Well, speaking of not being able to get enough,
sometimes enough just isn't enough, right?
It just isn't. And today is a guest and someone that I have not been able to get enough of for years.
So tell us what captured your attention.
Well, today we have the author of the book Fierce Conversations that not only has a special place with Tribe of Women, I would dare to say that it has been a mentor. Can a book be a mentor to somebody?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's been a mentor to me into how and even some of the why we do what we do.
I recognize several points that we have in common when I listened to it on Audible this week.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I have my book here in the studio, and it's obviously extremely marked up and tabbed and
yes,
much loved.
Yes.
And having the author of this book that is part of the fabric of our organization is a little bit like a holiday around here. And we will dive into why and why I'm such a fangirl soon enough. But first, a proper introduction. Susan Scott has been challenging people to say the things that can't be said for over two decades. She founded Fierce Inc. in 2001 after 13 years leading CEO think tanks, more than 10,000 hours of conversations with senior executives, and one epiphany and a favorite quote of mine to the degree that it's part of our origin story, that while no single conversation is guaranteed to change the trajectory of a career, a business, a marriage, or a life, any single conversation can. Welcome, Susan Scott.
Thank you so much, Amy. I've really been looking forward to this.
We have too.
So should I begin maybe by just sharing a couple of the key ideas from the work that we do with our clients?
That would be great.
Okay. It would help to think of a kaleidoscope, and you know how when you're turning a kaleidoscope, only one piece inside it needs to drop for the entire picture to change. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we each have our own internal kaleidoscopes. And so there have been some ideas that when they came to me were like that piece in a kaleidoscope that absolutely changed how I see the world, how I see myself in the world, and therefore what's required of me. And one of them arrived courtesy of Ernest Hemingway, which I share early in the book, Fierce Conversations. And in The Sun Also Rises, a group of people are sitting at a bar drinking in Spain, and someone asks a man, how did you go bankrupt? And he responds, gradually and then suddenly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so when I read that, I had been leading think tanks for 13 years, and I just had this epiphany, or apostrophe, as my niece likes to call them, apostrophes.
I love it.
I had this apostrophe, and it was that our careers and our companies and our relationships and our lives succeed or fail gradually, then suddenly, one conversation at a time. And, you know, we can think about the great results, particularly thinking about businesses. You know, how did I gain that customer that my competition would have killed for? You know, I gained that customer one successful conversation at a time. Mm-hmm. How is it that I've got this great team of people that's totally in service to what we've been asked to deliver to the organization? You know, we're cohesive, we're together, we're glad to see each other. We collaborate really well. And that has happened one successful conversation at a time. You know, and if, in a personal relationship, same thing. You know, how is it that I have a personal relationship that I just adore? One successful conversation at a time. Mm-hmm. But you can flip it. You know, how do I lose that customer? Yeah.
Painfully.
That counted for such a big percentage of our net profit and perhaps my bonus. I lost that customer one failed or one missing conversation at a time. I lost the cohesiveness of my team one failed or missing conversation at a time. I lost a long-term marriage one failed or missing conversation at a time. So, you know, when we look at any of us, when we look at where we are today, how do we get here on this particular square on our personal game boards of life? Well, we got here staring at all of the results that we currently have, the ones we love, the ones we're about, and the ones we don't like, one conversation at a time.
Exactly.
So when we think about where we want to go from here, how are we going to get from here to there? Same way we got here. Mm-hmm. It's you know, I really understood that all of us are navigating our lives conversationally. And that was just such a huge apostrophe for me.
Mm-hmm. And so often, not just in face-to-face conversations, but also email interactions and exchanges and all of those. I'm going to throw in a little bit of the personal story behind finding your book and then circling back to where we are today. I was gifted your book and introduced to you via email by a friend and mentor, and the book immediately resonated with me because it was such a beautiful compliment to my coaching and facilitation. And you were gracious in emailing me back and forth a few times. And then flash forward, we were planning to launch this new podcast, and I was making a list of guests, and of course, you were at the very top for me. And I went to my computer to look up our email thread, and I was really amazed at where our email had left off and where it ended up picking up. And I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit of that. And what I said was, I'm exploring what it is that I want to bring to the table. I'm recently part of the international team for the Startup Cup, and I will join them in Pakistan in August. I anticipate the journey having significant impact on my perspective overall. So we shall see where it all leads. And where it led was to the TEDx talk I did a year later, and then to starting Tribe of Women. And so even our email conversation, your book and our email conversation was impactful, life-changing, and definitely went from gradually and then suddenly.
I'm so glad, Amy. I love to see anyone flourish and arrive at their heart's desire.
Yes, yes. So before we get lost in all things fierce, we know that a new edition has just been published. So can you tell us what's new this time around?
You bet. You know, I have learned an awful lot in the 15 years since I wrote the first edition of Fierce Conversations. I've learned from our clients all over the world. I've learned from just living my own life and running a company. I've learned from friendships. So so much is the same. One of the great things is that Fierce Conversations and the principles and practices are actually even more relevant today than they were I first wrote them.
Absolutely.
And some things are really different. There's a huge sea change in the whole world of performance management. People don't want to have these once a year anonymous feedback experiences, which are pretty much horrible for everybody. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, oh boy, I get my 360 anonymous feedback today. What people want is they want regular feedback. They want face-to-face feedback. They want it to be ongoing. They don't want there to be anything anonymous about it. They really want to know how they're doing all along the way, which is very important because that's the gradually part of our lives. You know, we all wake up when we arrive at a suddenly. But the gradual, we need to be awake during gradually. So this feedback is really important. So there's a whole section on that. And the sea change in performance management. There's a very different way of looking at accountability. And I think, in Fierce Leadership, I said that holding people accountable is one of the worst so-called best practices out there because it really doesn't work. And so there's a whole new approach to accountability, and that's in the revised edition. Also, technology is a welcome, robust, and sometimes problematic presence in our lives. I mean, I absolutely love it and use it, but we have to know when to use it and how to use it, and particularly how do we use it very effectively when we've got a remote team or a remote employee, so we're not face-to-face. You know, how do we keep people engaged in a remote meeting? A lot of our clients are global, and they have these remote meetings. Virtual meets, I should say.
Yeah, very important.
And you don't know whether people in Pakistan, let's say, are listening to you or whether they went to make a cup of tea while you were saying what you wanted to say. So how do you really engage people? When do you use technology? How do you use it in a way that makes sure everyone stays very, very engaged and everyone actually contributes to conversation or to the meeting. So that's in the book. And I forget what else. I mean, there's a lot in there that people have asked us about in the last 15 years that we thought, okay, we absolutely can address these. Mm-hmm. And so I used this when a publisher came to me, my publisher, and said, how would you like to celebrate 15 years of this book's success with a revised edition? Part of me went, well, you know, I'm kind of busy, but then part of me went, what an opportunity. What an opportunity to collect so much of the learning since the first book and also to take this as an opportunity to go through the entire book and make little tweaks and changes. And so that's what I've done.
Yeah, and you've probably collected so many more stories that you can share. And I'm really looking forward to all of those. And it sounds like, it sounds like the heart of your work is still very well intact. And so one of the things that I know runs throughout the book is talking about mineral rights, ground truthing, interrogating reality, and coming out from behind ourselves. And it's a constant in your book and also in your work. And these are some of the toughest challenges that we have as humans. And I think sometimes even more so as women. Tell us a little bit about what is some of the pre-work that you find that we need to do in order to have these very real and very important conversations?
Well, what you're bringing up is so important, Amy. I've spent some time in Africa, and there's a tribe there that have the most wonderful greeting when they encounter one another on a path, on a trail out in the middle of nowhere with their goats and their cows. The first person to speak says "Sawubona," which means "I see you." Yay. And the response is "Sikhona," which means "I am here." And the order is important it's as if until you see me, I do not exist. And so one of the things that makes me really crazy, and men do this too, for sure, this is not just a woman thing. What makes me really crazy is when we stay always on the surface of a topic. It's like water skiing. It's a lot of fun. You can get a tan, but it's really different if you put on a tank and you go below the surface. A fierce conversation is one in which we come out from behind ourselves into our conversations and make them real. And only then, with all the courage and the vulnerability, and sometimes hesitancy or awkwardness or whatever, only then can we truly connect with one another. And I have been telling everybody for several years now that I feel that the next frontier for exponential growth, whether it is for an individual or for an organization, lies in our capacity to connect with those who are important to our success and happiness at a deep level. And the superficial connection is of no use at all, and it doesn't differentiate you from everybody else. So a fierce individual really is willing to show up authentically and come out from behind herself into her conversations and make them real. And that includes sometimes saying things that are difficult to say. You know, it's like maybe the Mokita, the Papua New Guinea term for that which everyone knows and no one speaks of. You know, maybe that's one of our values in a meeting is to say, you know, I don't think we've yet arrived at the biggest issue or the real issue here. I want to suggest that perhaps we should be talking about X. And then, you know, everybody freezes to see who's going to die.
Yes, exactly.
There's, you know, and yet there's something really valuable has been put on the table. And even in a personal relationship, to admit to our mistakes, admit to our insecurities, mm-hmm. admit to whatever it is, actually pulls us towards you. Rather than saying, well, I'm pretty perfect and my life is just great and my marriage is perfect and my career is on track. My children are excelling in every area. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't really want to spend much time with that person because I can't relate.
And it's not real.
No, not usually. So I think being real, interrogating reality, is very important because no plan, whether it's a plan for a business, for a team within a business, for a family, no plan survives its collision with reality. And reality has this irritating habit of changing, which seriously complicates our fantasies about
it. It is irritating, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, that's the first principle of fierce conversations is master the courage to interrogate reality.
That's wonderful. You mentioned several things that were on my list of things that I really loved about the book. One of them was the Papua New Guinea, the phrase, because that reminded me a lot of the mean girl culture that we address at Tribe of Women, how it's something that we talk about maybe to ourselves and we recognize and we see it, but we don't ever bring it out in the open and say, okay, this is a problem. And if we don't bring it out in the open, it can't be addressed and it can't be killed. And then the other part too was the I see you, I am here. I love that because it makes us think about the acceptance that we hesitate to give to each other if we just have some sort of difference, that we acknowledge each other's truth or worth, then we're giving people grace and we see them and validating that they are no different than we are in so many ways.
And I agree, and I think that one of the greatest gifts we can give another human being is the purity of our attention. So when someone's talking with us, instead of sort of waiting to respond and jumping in and saying, oh, I know what you're talking about because this is what happened to me, blah, 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 or just allowing it to stay on the surface, we would instead say more, you know, please keep talking, say more, and really be listening, because then that person knows that you do see them. And then they, it's worth it to show up, because we can tell when somebody's not really present. Uh-huh. We can tell when somebody's distracted, or they're asking, but they're not really asking. And when they're not really asking, we don't really answer.
Yeah, there's almost an energy that comes with that.
I think
definitely.
Big question. So who's going to provide that understanding we all want so much? And I think it has to start with me.
Oh, yes. And I think that your book was very subconscious. It's like anything else that we read or we watch, or, you know, it can be a song that we've heard. It can be a book that we've read or a movie that we've seen. But when something really connects, you carry it with you. And I think that I undoubtedly was carrying my book with you, or your book with me, when I went to Pakistan. And then when I came back and I wrote my TEDx talk, because that was the basis for opening, the very first thing that I feel we need to do for each other, especially as women, is say, "I see you." And extend that hand. And then the other side of it is the reaching back, the "I am here." I love it.
Yes.
I love
yes.
it.
Yeah.
So can we just go ahead and dive right into the challenges of approaching confrontation? And I like that you use the word confrontation. A lot of times it's used as conflict and just addressing those very real, very necessary, sometimes raw and touchy things that we tend to avoid. But on the other side, the healing power of mm-hmm. conversation.
Well, yes, and before we do, I want to say that in the rewrite of Fierce Conversations, what I explain is that if we stay current with one another regarding feedback, we may never need to confront, because we're absolutely current. And so, you know, I've asked so many people and so many large audiences, if your boss was really happy with your work, what would you hope your boss would do? And everybody says, "Tell me." Mm-hmm. You know, if your boss is unhappy with your work, what would you hope your boss would do? Tell me. So we need to really stay current with one another and get very good at providing, receiving, and asking for feedback. Mm-hmm. And that's the gradually part.
Yes.
And it's that's 99% of our lives is spent in gradually. So, you know, how is it that we go so unconscious sometimes and we think we're doing better than we really are, or we think we're doing worse than we really are? We really need to know how others perceive us. And when all else has failed and, you know, we've given feedback and we've asked for feedback, it's been a dialogue, and something really has to change. Well, that's when, we have to have that conversation. And I outline the process for preparing for that conversation in Fierce Conversations. I would say that one of the things people miss is, you know, when they hear the term fierce conversations, they assume, oh, this is the mm-hmm. this is confrontation. This is what this is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But honestly, sometimes the fiercest thing, given that the definition is being real, sometimes the fiercest thing I can say to someone is, "I want you to know what specifically I am appreciating about you today. You know, the way you handled the challenges that were thrown at you in today's meeting. You didn't get flustered. You didn't get defensive. You stayed curious. You were gracious, and you had really thoughtful answers, and you just blew me away. I'm just so proud of you." That's fierce.
Yes, yes.
And we don't do nearly enough of that. So that's very important. There ought to be plenty of that spontaneously in the moment when it's real, so that we're accumulating that wonderful emotional capital, mm-hmm. Which is our most valuable currency. Is emotional capital. And when we have to confront, we have to confront, but we need to, I think all of the reason, I mean, this is a half day session, so I can only touch on it. But when we fail to really prepare properly, for that conversation, it it will probably go the way of other confrontations that haven't gone so well. So there is a model for preparing a 60-second invitation to the person whose behavior or attitude or performance you need to confront. Mm-hmm. This 60-second invitation needs to be very clear and very compelling. Mm-hmm. And only then do you, and then you are silent and you let the person talk and you ask questions, but you don't come back in and build your case stronger because you have prepared such a skillful and compelling invitation that the person kind of gets, wow, there is a lot at stake here to gain if we get through this or to lose if we don't. And I really need to take this seriously. And also there is, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of room in this conversation for bullshit, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we're really excited about the release, the new release of the book. And I believe that everybody can find you at fierceinc.com. Is that correct?
And they can go to Amazon or wherever
Amazon,
they want.
Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It will be a wide release. That's great.
Yeah.
And Susan, thank you. This has been an honor and a pleasure to have you here and kind of become part of our tribe. You've been part of my tribe for a long time. And so it's been wonderful.
Thank you for having me. I would say the work you're doing is really important. And if you want to do this again sometime and go deeper or further into fierce principles and practices, I'm happy to do that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And I absolutely will take you up on that invitation. And before we go, and I hope you have a moment to briefly address an interview question that we ask all of our guests, and that is, why do you believe in tribes of women?
When I think back over my life, the person who was the most influential was my grandmother, who was way ahead of her time in starting a business that grew and grew and grew. But she was a joyful spirit, and she was spontaneous, and she was about as real as it gets. And, you know, I spent as much time with her and my precious grandfather as I possibly could and absorbed both of them at a cellular level. So I often think of her. I feel like she's with me. You know, I feel her presence and my grandfather's presence continually, even though they've been gone for many, many years. And I think I'm a lot like her, mm-hmm. thank goodness. And but then, you know, when I think about certain key times in my life or my career or my personal life, it's my women friends that I have turned to for guidance and for comfort and for laughs and for tears and for everything else. And I wouldn't take anything for them. So I think women are extraordinarily important. And as we get older and we stop, we put a little bit of a cap on our need to flirt with all the cute guys.
Does that happen? When does that happen?
It's well, I'm old, so, you know, for me, it's finally happened. But I think as we get older and we realize what our priorities are, we find that it's our women friends who are really precious. And that's not to say our men friends aren't. There's men in my life who I go to all the time, but my women friends are really, really front and center for me. Yeah.
Wonderful. Susan, thank you so much. It's been
You're
an honor.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. How great was that?
Mm-hmm.
Having a conversation with Susan was everything I hoped. You know, when you have something like an artist or a movie or a food that you cannot believe the entire world does not know about, and then those close to you finally learn about it and you're like, I told you you'd love it. And then you almost feel like this huge relief, like, ah, my work is done.
Yes. I feel that way whenever I introduce my kids to movies from the 80s.
Yeah. Well, I could now die happy, or at least I could go take a nap.
Oh, no. We have more to do. Oh, okay. Although a nap really does sound good. But no, we have more to do.
Yes, we do. We have a tribe tip segment coming up where we're going to learn about thriving beyond surviving.
Yes, but first, a little business. This podcast is so much fun. It's also so much work.
True, and it's a labor of love for our tribe.
You are so right, and we've had great sponsors that have loved us back so we could keep doing it.
Yes, like Elevate Performance Group, who's helping us be our best selves and our best organization through their peer advisory forums and consulting services. All to be found at elevateperformance.us.
And now we have a new opportunity for not only sponsors, but for our listeners to support us and Tribe It Forward with their dollars.
Well, tell me more about that.
Happy to. Patreon is something that I've heard of and you may have on other podcasts. It's a handy way that our listeners can say, we want more and we're happy to help you and we are happy to oblige. Yeah. We do 2 podcasts per month, and there are countless hours that go into finding and inviting guests and prepping and producing this podcast. And this is our tribe's opportunity to let us know that they want us to keep doing it for them. All you need to do is this. Go to our website, tribeofwomen.com, click on the podcast tab, then look for the button that says Become a Patron. Then you can help us meet our podcast goals.
I love it. We do not want to be a vacuum where we're just producing what we want. We want to be producing and contributing to the tribe and what you want. So it's a great way for you to tell us that we're heading in the right direction.
And a quick reminder that another way to tell us that is by going to our website and filling out our podcast survey.
Yes, we are not afraid of engaging in a fierce conversation. We want to ground truth this podcast, and our listeners are the only way that we have to do that.
Yep.
So there you go. Drop the mic.
Pick up the mic. We have more conversing to do.
That's right. It's time for
Tribe Tips. Yes, we have another special guest in the studio with us today. Martha Gurman is founder of Mindful Games Institute and author of Thriving Beyond Survival. She's also a success coach, author, speaker, facilitator, influencer, consultant, and she is a TEDx speaker.
Yes, she is. I had the privilege and honor of sharing the TEDx stage with Martha a few years ago. Admittedly, Martha spoke before me, which means that I was completely in my own head during her live performance, but I did not hesitate in watching it on YouTube later, and that led me to picking up her book, both of which I was very present and mindful in watching and reading.
Good job.
Congratulations, me. And why we are, and this is why we're excited to have her in the studio today. Hi, Martha.
Hi. How are y'all?
Good.
You sound like it.
So it's been a few years since we saw one another in person, and I'd love to hear, tell us a little bit about your journey and what you are up to these days.
Wow. Since the TEDx is when I got to finish my book, and I was really excited about that. That was such a fun journey. I made sure I was thriving through the whole experience, and it was a lot of fun, and I'm proud of it. And working on my business, helping people and making a difference for them. Helping them thrive beyond just surviving.
You just said that you made sure that you were thriving the
yes.
entire time.
Yes.
So I think that you're indicating that we can also make sure that we're thriving.
It's thriving and surviving. It's a practice and a choice. Admittedly, though, we are more trained to survive and just survive rather than thrive. All our models are set up for a survival mode, win-lose. So competitive, that's a survival mode, not thriving.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Hero, victim, villain, that's thriving, that's not thriving, that's surviving.
Yes, you know?
But it's models that we start to live in, and we're just not meant or designed for that. We're designed to thrive, but we now have to retrain ourselves and choose to.
Absolutely.
Thrive.
And your book and your coaching, your institute are all about that.
Mm-hmm,
and there's obviously mindful is in the title of
yes.
your institute. So there's a lot of that. And we just talked to Susan Scott, the author of Fierce Conversations. And so much of what she talks to us about is that being present and
mm-hmm.
being mindful.
Yes.
And the great thing, but that's externally. And you're talking about doing it internally. Yeah.
Yes. I love that fierce conversations because it is conversations that you have with other people. But to thrive, you have to have the good conversations with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because what puts us into survival or thriving is not what's happening out there. It's the what we're talking about and saying to ourselves about what's happening.
Yes.
It's the beliefs that we are putting on either about ourselves or about the situation or the other people that is either beliefs that are going to have us feel like we're needing to survive or beliefs that we're going to have to thrive. And like I said, we're trained to choose the survival ones, the ones that have us feel in danger instead of the ones that actually are to our benefit. And we do that about ourselves.
It's wonderful. I know in your TEDx talk, you have a kind of a top five that you go through. Can you walk us through those just a little bit?
Well, as far as being able to thrive.
Yes.
There's my strategies.
We're over the surviving part. Let's move on.
The strategies. And in my institute, it's named Mindful Games because a lot of when we're at our best and having the most fun, even when we're intense, is when we're playing games. And we think that that's a whole separate thing. But in thriving, it's the same idea. We have to have a goal. We have to know where we're going. And the goal isn't to make us go towards a target. It's to have a target that we think will be fun to do. I mean, when you play a game, it's fine. You got to know the object of the game. And then you get to opt in and say, yeah, I want to play this game because it looks like it'll be fun. It's the same as with all our goals. There should be goals that we should set goals that are like, you know what, that's going to be fun to do. That's what I did with my book. I made sure that, you know what, I'm going to have fun doing this because I'm going to enjoy the experience. So it's being mindful of the goals that we're setting and making sure the goals that are meaningful to us, not goals that we think we're supposed to do. There's so many out there that as women, we're supposed to want and accomplish this as opposed to what do I want? So knowing what we want and having those as our goals is important. So we have something to focus on.
Yes. Yeah. And those external influences that we have and that contribute to our internal dialogue and
you beating ourselves up. You should be that. Who says?
Absolutely. And as Susan mentioned, it's just not reality.
No.
And engaging with people that are trying to meet those standards or trying to put on the face of, you know, this is my perfect life when we know that that's not real.
Exactly.
Really difficult. Well, what are some tips, some tribe tips in how we can accomplish that? And of course, there's no shorthand to this.
It's a forever process. But what's really nice is when you start to really be conscious of thriving, it becomes easier and easier because we're more designed to do that. It takes more effort to just try to survive and deal with the stress than it does to choose to thrive and deal with the fun and the engagement. And it first is that awareness of where you're at. How are you feeling? Are you feeling stressed out? If you are, then you're in survival mode. Are you feeling engaged and curious? Then you're in thriving mode. And being able to choose, because in every situation, you could go either way. But we're the ones that decides that. And so it's choosing which way to go. And so that awareness is key of what we're thinking about it, too. I mean, we can... I was talking to a client, and she was saying where she was having fun with her grandkids. And then the thought pops in of, oh, I'm going to regret not, you know, when they're older, I'm going to miss these days. And all of a sudden the experience she had with her grandkids that was great, all of a sudden turned into this worry and stress and anxiety of a future that hasn't even happened yet. Mm-hmm. And to really be able to say, hey, do I want to choose to experience that now when I'm with these wonderful little kids and appreciating who they are now. We can do that in every moment of our lives, appreciating who we are now in whatever situation we're in and being able to thrive.
What is something, I hear that so much, and I'm actually married to someone who chooses to think about the future way more than I do. And it causes those conversations that are not fierce enough, definitely, where we conflict about those kinds of behaviors. But what if someone is thinking, okay, well, while I'm driving in the car listening to this podcast, what is something that I could do to just kind of dip my toe in the pond of thriving? Is there something that you think is an easy first step? Other than you mentioned the awareness, so that's the first step. So then what is the next step from there?
I think one of the most powerful practices is to consciously practice the emotion of appreciation. I know all of us, we know we should be grateful. We can list things that we're appreciative of, but we get it in a conceptual, in our head list way instead of in the moment feeling that emotion of appreciation and then knowing that we're generating it. All our emotions are not coming from out there. It's coming from us. And when we get that, we're able to generate that feeling of appreciation and practice it. I was driving here from Dallas and I was looking at the Boston Mountains and just appreciate, I had to turn off all the radio and all the music so I can appreciate mm-hmm. and feel that feeling of appreciation, knowing that's the way we're supposed to be feeling. And I can create that feeling with whatever situation I'm in. Even if it's stressful, I can look mm-hmm. at what to appreciate. We think better. We make better decisions that way. And so even if it's not a situation I want to be in, I'm able to then make a better decision on how to get to mm-hmm. going into a direction that I mm-hmm. want to be in mm-hmm. instead of being stuck and wallowing.
Yeah, those pauses create more time and space. Mm-hmm. And I think you've alluded to that time. You know, it's either you're having so much fun that you don't even see how much time goes by, or you are just so present that, you know, you thought a lot more time went by, but it's still
exactly.
early.
Yes, yes.
And in decision-making processes, mm-hmm. having that time to really think those things through is really valuable. And appreciation, gratitude, mm-hmm. you know, gratitude journals, we encourage those on a regular basis.
It keeps it in, yeah. in your consciousness. You know, yeah. you're looking for those things mm-hmm. and we get what we look for. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for things to appreciate, you'll find them. If you're looking for things to worry about, you'll find them. Mm-hmm. Which would you rather do?
Well, I have a sneaking suspicion that you have a lot more tips up your sleeve.
Yes.
And so we are just touching the tip of the mm-hmm. iceberg when talking to you today. So tell people how to find you.
Yes.
If you have anything awesome coming up, if how the book is doing, where they can get it, all of that good stuff.
Yes. Well, you can find me a couple places, Facebook at Mindful Games Institute, or my author page, Martha German, German, or on www.mindfulgamesinstitute or Thriving Beyond Survival. That's my book. And the book is at Amazon. Mm-hmm. And you can sign up. I do have tips of the week
Yay!
For thriving. And so
Perfect.
you can sign up for my thriving tips.
Great.
Comes once a week. They're very concise and impactful.
Are you sure we can't get those every day? No.
yeah, sure.
Just for you, Amy.
And then I also, coming up, I have a thriving retreat that is May 18th through the 21st in West Texas, just about an hour away west of Dallas. And I'm looking forward to that. That's always fun and relaxing and a way to practice thriving.
Good. Well, we look forward to tapping into your knowledge and wisdom a little bit more in the future. But
I look forward to it.
Thank you so much for being here today. It was great to see you again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, Martha.
You're welcome.
Do you believe in tribes of women? Join the movement in our newsletter at tribeofwomen.com and be the first to learn about upcoming podcast guests, product releases, events, and giveaways. Find, subscribe, and rate the Tribe Talk podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and other major platforms, and share it with your tribe. Then follow us for inspiration, information, events, and more on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram using @tribeofwomen.
This is Tribe of Women.
Lorraine Mosier,
Courtney Lawless,
Laurie Marshall,
and Amy Robinson. Thanks for listening.